In 2016, America faced a pivotal moment. After 8 years under Obama's fundamental transformation, the nation stood at a crossroads between continued decline or reclaiming its former greatness. Enter Donald Trump, a voice for millions who felt abandoned by their government, offering what Phyllis Schlafly famously called a choice, not an echo. Unlike typical politicians constrained by political correctness, Trump spoke boldly on issues many Americans cared deeply about but rarely heard addressed in mainstream politics. His straight-talking approach resonated across party lines, particularly on immigration, trade, and national security. "My father's not politically correct. He says what he means, and he means what he says," explains Ivanka Trump. With 80% of Americans believing political correctness is crippling the nation, Trump's willingness to speak uncomfortable truths represents a strength, not a weakness. Political correctness isn't about politeness, but control, a mechanism for silencing dissent. We see it on college campuses, where free speech zones restrict conservative expression, in climate change debates, where questioning orthodoxy can lead to legal persecution, and most dangerously, in discussions about Islamic terrorism. After the Orlando nightclub shooting, while the left blamed guns or toxic masculinity, Trump asked questions others avoided. Why would we admit people who support violent hatred? And how does this kind of immigration make our country better? He correctly identified radical Islamic terrorism as the problem, while others danced around it. Haven't we reached a point where honest conversation matters more than comfortable falsehoods? What if the very qualities establishment figures dismissed, Trump's bluntness, business background, and outsider status, were exactly what America needed? Reagan faced similar skepticism in 1980, yet transformed the nation. With the Supreme Court, border security, and economic revival hanging in the balance, this election represented what many conservatives viewed as America's last chance to peacefully reclaim its constitutional heritage. The stakes couldn't have been higher. A nation without borders is not a nation. This principle anchors Trump's immigration stance as an existential challenge to America's future. Since Kennedy's 1965 Immigration Act, demographic shifts have transformed states like California from Reagan country to a progressive stronghold. Today's immigration system favors volume over assimilation. Sanctuary cities harbor criminal aliens, as evidenced by Kate Steinle's tragic death at the hands of a five-time deportee. Between 2011-2015, 121 released criminal aliens faced murder charges. Birthright citizenship exacerbates this issue, with 340,000 children of illegal immigrants becoming automatic citizens annually, creating what Trump calls the biggest magnet attracting illegal immigrants and enabling parents to access benefits while avoiding deportation. Once thriving Midwest industrial towns reveal the human cost of America's trade policies. Since 2001, approximately 6 million manufacturing jobs have disappeared overseas, with over 3 million going to China. These represent devastated communities with eroded tax bases and declining living standards. The Trans-Pacific Partnership epitomizes this problem, linking high-wage America with countries like Vietnam, where workers earn just $1,890 annually, for a projected GDP increase of merely 0.15% by 2032. China poses the greatest challenge through currency manipulation, illegal subsidies, and industrial espionage. Intellectual property theft alone costs America $300 billion annually. Trump's approach isn't protectionist, but pragmatic. Trade deals must benefit American workers, not just corporations. When 84% of Americans prioritize protecting manufacturing jobs over cheaper imports, shouldn't our trade policy reflect these values? Imagine the impact of 3 or 4 Supreme Court appointments over the next presidential term. The next president would shape American jurisprudence for generations, determining the fate of immigration policy, abortion, gun rights, religious liberty, and presidential power. Trump released an impressive list of potential nominees compiled with help from respected conservative legal authorities. These judges demonstrated commitment to interpreting the Constitution as written rather than inventing new rights or importing foreign concepts, a stark contrast to the activist judges Clinton would appoint. The Supreme Court has evolved far beyond what the founders intended, with liberal justices unrestrained by law, precedent, or the Constitution. As constitutional scholar Larry Kramer explains, the court declared itself supreme in Cooper v. Aaron, 1958, manufacturing judicial supremacy that wasn't in Marbury v. Madison. When judges view themselves as social engineers rather than interpreters of law, doesn't democracy itself suffer? Trump's commitment to appoint in constitutionalist judges represents one of the strongest arguments for conservative support of his candidacy. Despite outspending most developed nations per student, American education shows troubling results. Students rank 26th globally in mathematics and science. While official graduation rates reach 85%, only 37% of graduates are college-ready. The system's failure is evident when 25% of university freshmen need remedial classes, essentially repeating high school at college prices, costing $1.5 billion annually plus significant indirect expenses. Trump proposes introducing market competition through comprehensive school choice programs, comparing education to Bill Telephone's monopoly that required breaking up. His framework includes returning to traditional academic standards, measuring achievement, restoring discipline, implementing performance-based teacher pay, strengthening civic education, and expanding school choice. Trump attributes his success to family values instilled by his homemaker mother, who encouraged happiness, and his driven father, who pushed him toward achievement. Despite his celebrity, he draws strength from family relationships, keeping their photos in his office during negotiations. As a self-described proud Christian, Trump states, "I go to church, I love God, and I love having a relationship with him." He promises Americans will freely say Merry Christmas again and pledges to defend Christianity. On abortion, Trump identifies as pro-life, promising to appoint pro-life Supreme Court judges, support legislation like the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, and defund Planned Parenthood's abortion services. His pro-life stance developed through personal stories, particularly a friend who initially rejected his wife's pregnancy but later cherished the child as the apple of his eye. Trump's America First approach prioritizes national interests over globalist ideologies. On entitlements, he insists on honoring commitments to seniors who paid into Social Security their whole lives, promising to save the program by reviving America's economy and eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse. His healthcare vision would replace Obamacare with a consumer-focused, competitive system that wouldn't force unwanted coverage, would allow insurance companies to compete across states, and implement other market-based reforms. For veterans, Trump promises to reform the absolutely unacceptable VA system that left 300,000 veterans dying while waiting for medical care. The 2016 election represented the last chance for Americans to get control of their government. Trump presented himself as both a realist and an optimist who believed America's best days are still to come if tough decisions were made. His vision promised to rebuild infrastructure, revitalize manufacturing, support law enforcement, and make America rich again, safe again, and great again for everyone. What if this wasn't just campaign rhetoric, but a genuine opportunity to restore American greatness? What if the very qualities establishment figures dismissed were exactly what the country needed? The choice was clear: continue down the path of decline or embrace a vision of American renewal that puts citizens first. Which future would you choose?